You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman. As always, I'm a co-host of this wonderful show. And on today's podcast, it's a very special time of the year for us at Locked On Pacers podcast, and we start our player review series. This will extend us through most of October, I guess. Well, we're almost in October. Today is September 30th, but we're almost in October. And maybe into November a little bit, depending on just kind of what other news surrounds the Pacers. And to kick off that wonderful player review season, I'm going to talk about Aaron Holiday, the Pacers' backup, I want to call him two-guard, point guard, the second-year player out of UCLA, who finished the season just... Some stat line real fast before we get into kind of the nitty-gritty of it, but finished with a season 9.5 points per game, 2.5 rebounds, 2.4 rebounds, and 3.4 assists. A 2.5 to 1 assist to turnover ratio, which is not terrible for a point guard who is kind of a semi-point guard. He shot 41.4% from the field on about 8.5 attempts and 39.4 from three on 3.3 attempts, a marked improvement from his previous season where he shot just 33.9% from three. His effective field goal percentage shot up to nearly 50% at 49.1. And really, he took a step forward this year from the previous year. He went from being kind of a barely playable bench player who was kind of played with when injuries were an issue or they wanted a little spark. Especially, you know, I think this first year he really kind of provided a nice little spark when Vic went out originally the first time before Vic's major injury in 2018-19. But this season, he really became a reliable player in some sense. He played 66 games, which is 66 of the 70, three games. So he pretty much played every game or most of the season that he was healthy for. Didn't have any DNPs, I don't believe. Maybe early on he did, but very rarely after that. Started 33 games, played almost 25 minutes per game. Just an improvement, right? Something you want to see out of a player in a second season. So that's kind of the best I can say for Aaron Holiday right now. But an exciting promise of a second season, right? An exciting promise of a future for Aaron Holiday. He had ups and downs all season long, and the ups were incredible, making you think he could be a starter, and the downs kind of, you know, maybe made you think he probably shouldn't even be a bench player. But overall, a very good season for Aaron Holiday, something you want to see out of a second-year player. And I'm going to go into a lot of detail about that. So just so we understand the structure of this show, right, I'm going to do kind of his best moment, worst moment, where do we go from here? And then the second segment, I'm going to do the biggest remaining questions. And I'm going to try to keep this format for all my player reviews. Now, Tony might do a different format, so we're clear. I don't know what he's going to do. But that's kind of my thought. Open it off with kind of like I did with their stats and whatnot, and then go into those kind of type of segments. But first, before we get to the best moment of Aaron Holiday's season, we need to talk about one of our lovely sponsors, and that is DoorDash. So DoorDash is the best place to get food delivered from, right? They offer everything you can need in your city, right? So here where I live in Jackson, where you might live in Indianapolis, you can pretty much find any one of your favorite local restaurants or like bars or breweries or whatever on DoorDash and get delivered directly to your door in their contactless driver delivery, right? That's super important. It is to kind of have that extra layer of safety, right? And so right now with the DoorDash app, they can bring all the food you want craving right to your door. And ordering is super easy. Like I said, you can order on their app, and it's contactless delivery drop-off. They have over 300,000 partners across the U.S. And so, you know, I know not all of you are in Indianapolis or where I'm in Jackson, wherever. You're all across the city, and you get everything you want, right? I mean, I named, you know, Indianapolis, my go-to local place is kind of Ocean World. I love it, you know, best sushi in town, frankly. But maybe you're in a city where you don't have that, so you just have, you know, your staples, like Chipotle or Wendy's or something like that. We get that delivered with DoorDash directly to your door. And right now, my listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the code LOCKEDONNBA. That's $5 off with zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store, whatever App Store you got, whether you have an iPhone, Android, whatever, and enter the code LOCKEDONNBA. Don't forget, that's LOCKEDONNBA for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. The best moment of Aaron Holiday's season, I think this is a pretty easy one we all can agree with. So there are a lot of different things to choose from. So I could do like a specific game, I could do a specific run, whatever. And pretty much his best run of this season by far was that late December, early January run against, I think his best game by far was against Toronto when he put up 19 points, including a great fourth quarter. I think he hit two or three threes that helped force the game into overtime. Went toe-to-toe with Kyle Lowry, played 30 minutes, ended with a stat line of 19 points and 10 assists. I mean, that was his best moment, but his best stretch was just that whole run from really Toronto, the Miami game where they lost by one. Yes, he missed the game-winning shot, but he played fantastic in that game. He then played really well against New Orleans, scoring 25 points. This is part of this run where even it actually goes back to kind of Boston in early December, where I think is after Brogdon got hurt and he got inserted in the lineup, and he was putting up between, or either Brogdon or Lamb, it's one of the two, putting up, you know, 18, 13, 23, 11, 11, 11, 19, 17, and 25. I mean, he had 9 straight games of over double points. He had 2 over 20. He had 4 over 17 points per game. I mean, he was just in a really good kind of place at that point. At this point, too, he's now popping into the double-double range, right? He had a game against Denver, which they lost at home after New Year's, where he had 10 assists. That was his second double, you know, double assist, or third double assist game of the season. The other one came, obviously, against Brooklyn early on in the season. But this is sort of where Aaron Holiday started to pick up, right? He had an early run, too. I shouldn't discredit that. Like, he had a night. There's another nice little run to start the season. But I think when I think of Aaron Holiday this season, I particularly think of that. Really, I think of the Orlando game where he hit the game winner in. And then I think of, which I think was around Thanksgiving range. And then I think of the Toronto game. And that's the game I think of because that was the game where I was like, oh, this big team might be legit, right? Aaron Holiday was really, really good in that game. And he was really, I think, the reason they won that game. And he had Turner had a couple of nice threes, too, to help kind of push them along. But Aaron Holiday was the reason. He went toe-to-toe Kyle Lowry, who I think Lowry ended up playing like 45 minutes in that game or something crazy because of the overtime. And Holiday, you know, was on his level. And so it was that moment where I thought Aaron Holiday, this guy could be a starter. This guy, you know, he was shooting ridiculous three-point numbers. I mean, we're talking, he had a 50% in that game, 5 of 10. He was 4 of 6 in the game 2 days later. 2 games before that, he was 3 of 3. I mean, he was just shooting lights out. I think this at this point in his kind of stretch, he had pushed his three-point percentage to like in the low 40s. I mean, he was incredible. I mean, this is, I think at this point, you look at the Pacers, you know, right around Christmas, New Year's time, you saw three guys at least with 40% three-point shooting percentage, and that was both Holiday brothers and McDermott. And Aaron Holiday, this is where you start to think, this guy can really maybe even be the starting point guard for this team today. You know, I'm not sure he is quite there yet, but or quite like really a point guard. He's kind of more of a hybrid point guard in a sense, but it made you think he could be a starter or at least a sixth guy off your bench, and you would be really good if he was that. So this was kind of the moment where I start to turn for him, right? Because I think Tony and I said on a podcast at this point, like sneakily, the most important player on the bench at this point in the season was Aaron Holiday, right? I think overall, you look at it, obviously it was Sabonis, but I guess he wasn't on the bench. But of the four bench guys at this moment, it was definitely him. It became his brother towards the end of the year because his brother's a little more versatile in terms of being able to play with the starters and injuries and whatnot. But like when everyone was healthy, Aaron Holiday was probably the most important bench player for the Pacers. And that's pretty good for a second-year guy who had an up-and-down first year, who, you know, is a little undersized, and there was some questions about could he really get strong enough, or did he have good enough three-point shot to play in the league, or to good enough defense, and to me, he proved he's good enough to be in this league. You just got to put it together for longer stretches, and that kind of brings me to his worst moment, and to me, I think it came in the playoffs. I mean, you know, his stat line wasn't, like, the worst, right, but he really couldn't crack. I mean, he was playing 16, 20, 22, and 12 minutes a game. In 12 minutes in the four games, right? So I think he averaged probably around 17 minutes a game. I mean, he just couldn't really crack the rotation, right? They benched him, I believe, after game two. They started Justin Holiday, maybe even game one. He just, you know, he had good stats in terms of, like, he didn't screw anything up majorly, like, by taking 10 shots and not making one, but he just couldn't really exceed, like, he just couldn't find his ground, his footing against the Heat. And it was part of this kind of whole stretch where, you know, heading into the bubble, he wasn't that great, and then he wasn't really that great in the bubble. You know, he was decent in the Washington game, but like besides outside the first two games of Washington and Philadelphia, he really wasn't that great in the bubble either. And just to me, and I don't think it was like he was like this like terrible player, but when the moment seemed a little too big for him, I guess might be the right way to put it. Like he just didn't come up to the moment. And so, you know, not that he should be like Tyler Herro, who I think but Tyler Herro is the kind of player who, like, in the playoffs, like the moment wasn't too big for him. He overcame the moment, where Aaron Holiday just didn't do that. And so, you know, that's saying he won't in his career someday, and he won't, you know, eventually in two or three seasons be a really good, you know, playoff player, but he just didn't this season. So I think that's kind of where his low moment was, but it's a learning experience for a guy like him, right? It's sort of it's improving and learning and getting better. I mean, that's what it is. It's not necessarily about like, you know, they weren't going to win the championship this year. So it's just about learning from his mistakes, what he did wrong, preparation, whether it's, you know, nerves or whatever it is, and getting over this hump in the future that it'll make the playoffs going forward. You know, where we go from here with him, I think it's pretty simple. It's how does he improve? Where do the guards shake out? And then how much money is he paid, right? And I'll answer those three in the kind of big remaining questions. But in terms of, like, as a pure basketball player, I think he needs to become a little better a passer. He made an improvement this season for sure. He definitely took kind of a step. But he needs to understand that he has a very good first step, and he's very fast to the rim. And he did a good job, I think, at times getting the rim, just taking the shot. But how does he turn that into an assist? Turn that into a corner three for McDermott? Turn that into a corner three for his brother? Or turn that into a corner three for somebody else, right? He's got to kind of figure that out. I would love to see him next year, if Sabonis returns, play a little two-man game with Sabonis. I think that could be really fruitful for him. Now, I don't think he's as good as passer as Brogdon, but I think he's just got a lot of speed, stuff like that. But I also would love if Turner returns, because we don't know what's going to happen. Him play a little pick and pop with Turner, right? I mean, the Darren Collison kind of move, right? I think he's got that ability. And then the other thing I would say is he's got to just keep shooting the three, more threes, right? Got to keep his percentage. I mean, if he shoots 39.4% the rest of his career, he is set. He just got to keep going from 3.5 a game to 4 a game to 5 a game, right? I mean, he took 8.5 shots this year. I would love if 6 of those were threes and he took 4 or 5 twos, right? I mean, he just got to kind of keep upping the amount of threes he takes, because he's a good three-point shooter, and that's sort of what keeps him on the court. And defensively, I think he is adequate enough, right? He's not going to, you know, amaze you with some lockdown D, but when you play with the bench, he guards backup point guards or backup two guards, he's pretty decent. And you can hide him on as a defender at times, and he can make a couple plays here or there. For him to become a starter, he's going to have to really, really up the offensive and the passing. I mean, that's if those two things go to another level, then he can be a starting point guard. Because I don't think he can be a starting two guard, frankly. I don't think he's just too small. His only way, you know, he could be a starting two guard in the sense that he could play probably next to Brogdon, right? Brogdon would be a decent fit for him, because Brogdon is an oversized point guard. He's 6'5", huge wingspan, can guard, you know, 1 through 3s basically. So he could fit next to Brogdon pretty well, you know, but I'm not sure he really fits in a three guard lineup that well if he's not the point guard, I guess. I mean, it depends who the two guard is, but like I would much rather, for example, just like want him to be kind of like, if he started as like the two guard next to Brogdon and then plays with the bench mainly and then kind of comes maybe end game if he especially is a better 3-point shooter is all. But to me, his next year, for me, is the six-man role. I mean, I think we'll get Jeremy Lamb back. It sounds like pretty soon. But him and Jeremy Lamb could play really well together. I mean, you know, maybe he needs to overtake McConnell in that position kind of thing. Like, there's a chance, you know, if the lineup is Lamb, him, Justin Holiday, McDermott, and Sabonis, let's say. That's a pretty good lineup. And I think they can succeed. And he can kind of become the Pacers' six-man in a way. So that's where I see him going. Let's take another break, and then I'll do, like, the biggest remaining questions for him. Because today's Locked On Pacers podcast is also brought to you by our wonderful friends over at Built Bar. So we've done this, hundreds of times. We talk about Built Bar almost on every podcast. They are a great sponsor. They offer 18 amazing protein bars from all kinds of flavors, right? I'm going to try to say this name. I mess it up almost every time, but it's Cherry Barcia, making, you know, a play on the Cherry Garcia thing. I think I got it right that time. They have a carrot cake one. They got coconut almond. They've got everything from, you know, the classic double chocolate salted caramel, all those kind of things. Bars are 100% covered in chocolate and soft and chewy to ease. And like we said before, these Built Bars are great for a healthy conscious person trying to either lose, maintain weight, bulk up, whatever it is great. They're low calorie, low sugar, and high in protein. And like my favorite bar, which is the peanut butter protein, I say that every podcast, has 19 grams of protein. I mean, most of them have between 17 and 19 grams of protein. So they're great for kind of bulking up and just filling you up when you want kind of that like snack kind of meal. Midday, I find. So, and right now, as we've said before, if you go to builtbar.com and use the promo code Locked On, you will get $10 off your next order. That's right. Go to builtbar.com right now. Use promo code Locked On for $10 off your next order. I have three big remaining questions left for Aaron Holiday. First one is the contract. Then it's where does he fall when everything shakes out with the guards, and does he get traded this offseason? Those are kind of the three big ones for me. So the contract. He has basically 2 years left, right? He has next year at, I believe, around $3.5-4 million. And then he has a player option. Well, it's like a team option. Sorry, not a player option. He's a team option that they will for sure pick up because there's no reason not to, pretty much. It's kind of like, and then he'll hit free agency the next year as a restricted, right? So next year, I'm sorry, he'll make 2.1. And then I believe they'll have a team sort of thing they can pick up for for 3.9. They make him a qualifying offer. So really, he could be on the Pacers 3 more years. But my guess is, you know, after that, after next season, they'll discuss extensions. And after, and if they don't get one after next season, they'll maybe do it the season after that, right? But, you know, right now, his extension probably isn't, you know, he's young enough where, like, I think he probably gets closer to 10 than he, you know, than we would think, right? I think he probably makes between 10 and 15 at this point. But he's got a lot of room to improve, right? So, like, he could have a great year and he could become a 20-20. I mean, this happens to a lot of guys in their third and fourth year, right? If you make that leap to your third season, you go from being, you know, like a bench-level guy to, like, a borderline starter. You get a team, you know, one of these young kind of teams that is not very good to max you out or whatever. I mean, I don't know. He's not there yet for sure. But I think he gets close to about $10 to $15 million at this point on, like, a 2 or 3 year deal. But I think that's sort of, we have to see how this year plays, right? But I think if he let's put it this way, if he puts up the same numbers again and it's like improved, let's say he, instead of putting up 9 points, he puts up 11 points. And he's an improved passer, goes from 3.5 assists to 4.5 assists, let's say. And he can play at the stars and close some games and whatnot. I think he definitely gets somewhere in the $12 to $15 million range if he wants it. And he might just say, you know what, I'll take the pick up the option, and he'll just wait and hit his RFA. I mean, the Pacers will control Aaron Holiday, kind of his situation because of the RFA. They could, if they want him back, they can bring him back. Now, you know, if he goes his next season and just, like, leaps to beyond, you know, what you could believe, he might get maxed out, but then he's probably worth it, right? If he all of a sudden, you know, let's say they trade Vic and he steps in and he has this great season and he puts up 18 points a game or something crazy like that, he's probably worth maxing out. The problem I would find is that if he takes, like, this marginal improvement where he becomes, like, a 14 points game kind of player and is the third, you know, let's say the third or fourth guy on this team, I'm not sure you can max him out, but a team might, like, and that's where you get kind of dicey with these rookies, is you be careful. If I'm the Pacers and he has an okay year next year, I would try to extend him immediately the same way you did with Sabonis and Turner, because even though I think Turner makes a little bit more than his value, he's pretty accurately paid, and I think Sabonis is definitely underpaid going forward if he puts up the same kind of stats. And Aaron Holiday, if you get him around that, like, 15 to 18 range, he fits into your cap nicely, doesn't extend you to, like, luxury tax probably. But a lot of this depends on where the salary cap is in 2 years, and there's a lot of issues with that. But I think today, probably a $10+ million player, 10 to 15 range. Going forward, I think he could be worth less if he doesn't improve, but if he does improve, he probably gets somewhere close to 15 to 20 just because of his age and, you know, it just, his trajectory, right? He keeps kind of going up a little bit each season. So that's just my thought. To me, the most important thing from next year is just what happens with all the guards, right? So you got McConnell's option, which I assume will be picked up. You got Justin Holiday's brother's a free agent. You've got Victor Oladipo wanting out. That's the most recent news. And then you got Jeremy Lamb coming back from injury. And then is there some other trade, right? And we'll do the trade in a second. But so, like, how does that all shake out, right? If Holiday, if his brother and Vic leave, does he become the starter? Who do they get to replace him? That's a question I'd like to hear. I mean, I think he actually, considering the way Vic played in the bubble, if you just drop Vic and everybody else and Lamb comes in and slots where Aaron Holiday was, I don't know if that'd be the worst thing. I think you probably compete with Lamb for that starting job, but I think Aaron Holiday can do some of what Vic could do, but I don't know. I'm talking about Vic in terms of injured Vic, not if Vic kind of improves to this, like, pre-injury state. But, you know, that's to me, that's the most important thing in all of this, is where does that shake out, because that will affect his future, in my opinion. Because if everything comes back to normal and he ends up being kind of the backup two guard, that's probably the best situation for him, because it allows him to keep growing but doesn't put too high expectations on him. I'm sorry for my dog in the background. She is just being a pain. I think she stopped though now. So a lot could happen with that. We will see how that shakes out. The last thing is he could get traded. He is a young piece, right? So if the Pacers want to make a move for, like, a big name player, like, let's say they really want to go after Drew Holiday, right? His brother. Now, it seems kind of weird to trade brother for brother, but that could be, right? I mean, there is a trade out there where you could see Victor Oladipo and Aaron Holiday, and I think T.J. Leaf equals Drew Holiday's salary. Now, maybe the Pelicans don't want to make that move. I don't know. We'll see how that shakes out, but that's a possibility. If you put him with T.J. Leaf and Miles Turner, you get $25 million in salary, and then you can throw in, like, you could throw McConnell if he picks up his deal, which is $28.5. You could throw in, I don't know, some other piece. You can throw in Jeremy Lamb and you get 35. I mean, there are moves out there that he makes sense for. I think I'd rather, if they're going to trade, just trade a future pick than trade him. I mean, you'd rather have the bird in the hand than the you know, the bird in the basket, I guess, the way, right? Because, like, you know what you have versus a rookie, you have no idea. And Aaron Holiday is on the trajectory, will help this team peak in 2 years. Now, I think really they probably shouldn't trade Vic, but I don't know. I'll give my take on that kind of later. But, I mean, I don't see a way out of this kind of 4 or 5 purgatory if they trade Vic unless they can find some great partner for him. But, yeah, I mean, I'm definitely hope Aaron Holiday isn't traded unless there's, like, some crazy improvement player. Like, if it's a Bradley Beal, I'm not going to be mad. But I'm not sure, like, I think they're better off giving up picks than giving up him, in just my opinion, just because I think they're going to be okay. Whether they trade Vic or not, as long as they have Bronis, a bonus, and Warren, they're going to win 40-something games a year. I mean, they're a decent team. Need a better coach. But they're going to win 40-something games a year and be of the 4-6 seed and have a 15-20 pick. And, you know, it doesn't really matter. You know, those things are such, like, crapshoots, right? You know, T.J. Leaf sucked. Aaron Holiday's been good. I mean, the crap, neither superstar, right? So there's crapshoots. You don't really know what's going to happen. So that's just kind of my thoughts on that. Yeah, that's, I think overall, I would say from Aaron Holiday, good second season, needs to keep improving, but showing signs that he is an NBA player, showing signs that he could be a starter, showing signs that he was worth the 23rd pick. The Pacers took the flyer on him, right? He definitely is at a way different stage than TJ Leaf, who I think really isn't even an NBA player at this point, frankly. So I'm encouraged by Aaron Holiday. I like him. You know, I think he's got places to improve, but I overall really like him. So with these player review series, I think we're going to do like 2 or 3 a week, do our weekly news content show and maybe some other news as it breaks. Obviously, we'll have some big podcasts on a new coach once that inevitably happens. But yeah, that's all I got for this Locked On Pacers podcast. As always, you can follow us at Locked On Pacers. You can follow Tony at Teased NBA and me at Freeman Adam 5. That's all for this Locked On Pacers podcast. We will see you guys again tomorrow.